An heart-melting exhortation, together with a cordial consolation, presented in a letter from New England to their dear countrymen of Lancashire, which may as well concern all others in these suffering times, by Richard Mather, teacher of the church at Dorchester, and William Thompson, pastor of the church at Brittany in New England. Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another daily, whilst it is called today. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. To all those that profess the name and true religion of Jesus Christ in Lancashire, especially to the inhabitants of Toxteth near Liverpool, of Newton, Winwick, Eccleston near Crofton, of Muchwoulton, and the places thereabouts, Richard Mather and William Thompson, with mercy and grace, truth and peace, from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian countrymen and dear friends, that which the Apostle professeth of himself concerning the nation of the Jews, that his heart's desire and prayer unto God for them was that they might be saved. The same may we profess of ourselves concerning you. And because at thus many hundred and some thousand miles distance we cannot make known our true and great desire after your salvation by word of mouth, therefore we are willing to testify the same by a few lines in writing, humbly desiring that for that purpose a word or two of Christian exhortation in this way of a letter may not be unwelcome to any of you, but graciously blessed by the God of heaven unto you all, to those good ends which we intend therein. Indeed, we could have wished, had it been the will of God, that as we were born amongst you, and for some years have been preachers of the everlasting gospel in your coasts, though the weakest for such a work, and the most unworthy of thousands we do acknowledge, so we might also have continued to live and to die together. For your Christian communion, as long as we could enjoy the same, whether in public assemblies or private families, was very dear unto us, and to this day in our conferences, one with the other, we do often revive the remembrance thereof with much comfort of heart. And when the iniquity of the times was grown to such an height that amongst others, far more eminent lights, ourselves also must be put under a bushel, and might not be permitted in any public employment to seek the salvation of your souls, yet God knows, and many amongst you, we doubt not, do remember how we could not leave your congregations, nor depart out of your coasts, without much inward affection of heart and many tears, because you were dear unto us. And when that saying of the Apostle, Acts 20:25, did come into our minds, as it came into our minds very often, you will scarcely believe how our hearts were affected at the remembrance thereof, considering with how little variation those words of his unto those Ephesians might be applied to our condition and yours at that time, when we did plainly perceive that most of you, amongst whom we had gone preaching the kingdom of God, in all likelihood should see our faces no more, which was unto us no small grief. Nevertheless, though we thus speak concerning our hearty affection towards you, which was and is, as much as we pretend, and very cordial in Christ Jesus, yet we would not be so understood as if we were weary of our present place and portion, for we do not remember that since our coming into this country, and the one of us hath been here above the space of 10 years, and the other not much less than 9, that of all this time we have had one repenting thought of this transmigration of ours. True it is, we were most unwilling, you may be sure, to turn our backs upon our dear native country, and upon yourselves in many respects. But those things which the wisdom and will of God had determined before concerning our transportation into these western parts of the world, he hath thus fulfilled. And blessed be his name for the same, for whatever others say or think of New England, we for our parts must both think and say, as long as we have a day to live, that great was the goodness of our God, that ever he was pleased to bring us hither. For considering what light of truth doth here plenteously and clearly shine forth, what churches are here gathered and planted, with what liberty and purity the ordinances of Christ Jesus are here administered, by what magistrates civil justice is here dispensed, and the commonwealth governed, how holiness and righteousness is countenanced and encouraged, and all known impiety and iniquity prosecuted to condign punishment, both in church and commonwealth. In a word, considering what means of grace and glory are here plentifully afforded and peaceably enjoyed, we must therefore need say that if it be not our own fault, however it go with others, and however it hath been with us in times past, we may now be happy and blessed in Christ Jesus, both in this and in another world. And indeed, we cannot but stand amazed at the free grace of God, and wonder with what great admiration at that wise and gracious and holy dispensation of divine providence, whereby it comes to pass that such unworthy ones as we be must be here in a land of peace to enjoy the many good blessings of God, both for earth and heaven in quiet habitations, when in the meantime it fares full ill, God knows, with the land of our nativity, and with many thousands therein far better than ourselves, whom the Lord hath left after all their other pressures, under which they have formerly groaned, now at last to see the most doleful days that they have ever seen in England, because that formerly flourishing kingdom is now woefully at war within itself, and that sore plague of the devouring sword, as sore as one as any of the four which are thus called by the Holy Ghost, Ezekiel 14:21, hath already devoured much English flesh and drunk much English blood. Many hundreds and thousands of all ranks and degrees, both great and small, since these wars begun, having already lost their lives and ended their days in these grievous national calamities, and, God knows, how many more may shortly do the like, because, for aught we can hear, the wrath of the Lord is not yet turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. In regard whereof we may take up the complaint of the prophet and say, Oh, that our heads were water, and our eyes were fountains of tears, that we might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of our people. Jeremiah 9:1. For indeed we desire to bewail the sorrows, distractions, and distresses of that dear country where we were born, and wish we had hearts to do it more compassionately and effectually than these dull and dry spirits of ours can yet attain unto. Though we hope it is not our distance for the space of 3,000 miles from that land, nor our absence from thence for the space of 9 or 10 years, nor all the water that in all this time hath flown in this great Atlantic Ocean between England and us, that hath or ever shall wash away the thought and remembrance of England and of God's people therein out of our hearts, but that we shall prefer the comfort, peace, and prosperity of it and them before our chief joys. And being thus minded, we hope you will give us leave, out of that hearty affection and good will which we bear unto our nation, and more abundantly to you ward, to commend unto you, our dear countrymen, a few words of Christian counsel and advice, concerning some things which we deem conducible to your eternal comfort and salvation, which we so heartily long after, and which advice is none other but the very same which we would wish to be given to ourselves, if our soul were in your soul's stead. You have seen, write, dearly beloved, how the great judge of the world and king of the nations, by a sore and long continuing war, for the space of 7 or 8 and 20 years together, or thereabouts, hath been afflicting the German nation for their sins. And how of late time he hath brought the like judgment even to your doors, in that distressed, if not destroyed, kingdom of Ireland. And now you plainly see also that he will bear with England no longer, but they also must drink of the same cup of blood, whereof others have so deeply drunk before. In which, and other kingdoms and countries that might be named, the dispensation of the Almighty is and hath been such, as if he were resolved by fire and by sword to plead with all flesh, and that the slain of the Lord shall be many. Isaiah 66:16. And we doubt not, but many of you do well know the saying that is written, that when the judgments of God are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world shall learn righteousness. Isaiah 26:9. Yea, truly, though his judgments were not upon ourselves, but only upon others, yet he would have us learn righteousness thereby, or otherwise it will be an aggravation of our iniquity and impenitency, and a provocation of the Lord's greater displeasure, as it was against Judah. When the Lord saw that for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and he had put her away, and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And Belshazzar is sharply reproved and plagued by the Lord, because he had not learned righteousness by all the judgments which had befallen Nebuchadnezzar his father, whereof he his son was not ignorant. Thy father Nebuchadnezzar, saith the prophet, when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and turned out among wild beasts. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Whereby we see it is very much displeasing to the Lord and dangerous unto ourselves, if we see and know the judgments of God upon others because of their sins, and do not humble ourselves, and turn from our iniquities, and fear before him that is so dreadful and holy a God, and terrible, though righteous in his doings unto the sinful sons of men. But if the calamities upon others should thus strike all our hearts with a holy fear in regard to ourselves, how much more ought this fruit to be found in us, when the judgments of God do fall upon our own backs? Surely at such a time the Lord considereth what courses he hath taken with the people for their amendment, and is not a little displeased if his corrections upon them be in vain. As you may read at large, Amos 4:6 and following, I have sent famine amongst you, saith the Lord, and yet you have not turned unto me. I have sent drought amongst you, and yet you have not turned unto me. I have sent blasting and mildew. I have sent pestilence amongst you, after the manner of Egypt, and other judgments more there mentioned, and yet ye have not turned unto me. So that the Lord takes in account what corrections he hath corrected men withal, and what amendment hath been wrought thereby, and if it be otherwise, he is very much displeased that men should be so incorrigible. Yea, in such case the Lord will either pursue such persons and people with more and sorer judgments, yea, 7 times and 7 times more judgments, and 1 7 after another, till their uncircumcised hearts be humbled. Or else he will utterly leave them, and give them up, as those whose case is incurable, and their condition desperate. For so we read, Isaiah 1:5, Wherefore should you be smitten any more? For ye fall away more and more. Which condition is exceeding fearful and lamentable. But by all this you may see that when the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, whether upon ourselves or others, they that see them, or feel them, or hear tell of them, ought to learn righteousness thereby, or otherwise it is like to be worse for them. Sith, therefore, you have known the judgments of God, which he hath brought upon Germany for many years together, and upon Ireland and England of late times, God would be very angry if you should remain impenitent, unhumbled, and unreformed, though you have known all this. Wherefore, dear friends, we beseech you, let our advice and counsel be acceptable to you, which yet is not our counsel, but the Lord's, that every man would now search and try his ways, and turn again to the Lord. Lamentations 3:4. Let every man now call himself unto a strict examination for all the course of his life, and smite upon his thigh, and say, What have I done? Yea, let every man now learn to be vile in his own eyes, to abhor himself, to repent in dust and ashes, judging himself before the Lord with sorrow and shame for all his abominations, and pouring out from a broken and contrite heart free, full, and plain confessions of the same. Yea, now let every man cry mightily unto God, Jonah 3:8, for mercy and forgiveness in the blood of the Redeemer Christ Jesus. And turn to the Lord from all the evil that is in his heart or hands, that so all the judgments of God that are in the earth may not be in vain unto you, and your sin and misery increased thereby, but that by them your iniquity may be purged, and this may be the sweet and blessed fruit thereof, even the taking away of your sin. But when the Jews were exhorted by the prophet Malachi to turn unto the Lord, with the promise that he would then return unto them, they made him this answer, Wherein should we return? Malachi 3:7. Plainly declaring thereby that they knew but little that was amiss in themselves, and whereof they should repent, or wherein they had need to be reformed. And therefore, lest there should be any soul amongst you, that should entertain this exhortation of ours in the like manner, and be or pretend to be ignorant whereof they should repent, give us leave, therefore, as the prophet must. Show the people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58:1. And another prophet is bidden to cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Ezekiel 16:2. Give us leave, we beseech you, after their example, to instance in some principal sins which were very common in Lancashire when we were there, and which we fear are much continued in that country unto this very day, and therefore had need to be repented of. And first of all, we may mention that general sin of profaneness or atheism and disrespect of all religion, when multitudes of men and women from one end of the country to another have so demeaned themselves as if they had been born for no other end but to serve themselves and their own lusts, the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eye and the pride of life, 1 John 2:16, and so have spent their days as if there had been nothing else for them to do or to look after but to eat and to drink, to sleep and to play, to build and to plant, to buy and to sell, to marry and to give in marriage, and the like. But with as much irreligiousness and profaneness of heart in all these things, and with as much neglect of the glory of God and the salvation of their souls and the means thereof, as if there had been no God to be served or acknowledged, or as if themselves had had no souls to be saved. It is but too apparent, the Lord knows, The glorious and holy name of God hath been impiously profaned and blasphemed in that country by multitudes of vain and wicked oaths in the mouths of gentlemen and mean men too, yea, and very children. How the holy Sabbaths of God, which he hath commanded to be sanctified for ever, and for that end hath bid us remember the same, have been greatly profaned and polluted, not only by neglect of public and private worship, whereby the same should have been sanctified, but also by the contrary profane and impious practices instead thereof, such as are carding, dicing, drinking, bowling, bear-baiting, shooting, piping, dancing at greens, ales, maypoles, and such like. And when the license for sports and recreations upon the Sabbath came forth from Houghton Tower, to the lasting shame and infamy of the place and country where such an unhappy birth was brought forth, oh, how gladly was the same entertained and embraced by multitudes of people in that country! And how proudly did they bear up themselves upon the authority of the same, to the confronting and defiance of the faithful ministers of God that would not, nor could not, consent to such profanations, but by authority of the fourth commandment of God did bear witness against the same. It is also a further testimony of this spirit of profaneness that now we are speaking of, that duties of religion have been so exceedingly neglected in private families, children and servants being not at all instructed and catechized, yea, many families having not a Bible in them, morning and evening prayer being never used, nor any blessing upon the creatures desired of God when men have gone unto their meals, all directly contrary to the express word of God, Deuteronomy 6:6-7, Ephesians 6:4, 1 Timothy 4:4-5, and the commended examples of David, Joshua, Cornelius, Abraham, and such like servants of God. But if the saying of Christ our Savior be true, as it cannot but be most true, that they that are the children of Abraham will do the works of Abraham, surely, then, the neglect of family duties, for the practice whereof Abraham is so much commended, doth testify to the faces of many people that they are no children of Abraham, neither children of his flesh, nor children of his faith. And whose children they then are, you may all judge. Yea, such hath been the impiety of many persons, that such as have made some conscience of God's holy name and service and Sabbaths, and have showed any care to walk with God in the way that is called holy, them they have greatly hated, despised, derided, slandered, and other ways evil entreated and persecuted, and all because they seemed to be more holy than themselves. Wherefore, to make an end of this particular, if there be any soul among you, whether man or woman, whether young or old, whether great or small, that stands culpable of this profaneness and ungodliness, and that is a despiser and hater, or so much as a careless neglecter of God and the holy things of God, careless of God's word and the knowledge of it, of his Sabbaths and the sanctifying thereof, and of the Christian duties of God's holy worship in public assemblies and in private families, yea, careless of walking with God in holiness for his own particular, but walks in his own lusts of swearing, whoredom, drunkenness, or any other. Let such an one be exhorted to repent, yea, as he tendereth his own eternal comfort, be earnestly entreated to repent, yea, charged and commanded in the name of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of all this his wickedness and turn unto the Lord. For the word is gone out of God's mouth and shall not be recalled, but must stand for ever, that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. except it be as a judge against all such ungodly sinners, but never see God to his comfort in this or in another world. Oh, consider this, therefore, all ye that forget God, lest he tear you in pieces, and there be no deliverer. Yea, consider it seriously, and believe it of a truth, for the Lord hath spoken it, that neither whoremongers, nor adulterers, nor drunkards, nor any that walk in such ways and works of the flesh, shall have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:20-21, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Be assured of it, for the day is coming when you will find it most true that where there is no holy knowledge of God in the mind, no change of the heart from its former profaneness and uncleanness, and no purity and sanctity of the affections and desires, no reformation and sanctification of the life and conversation, such a man so continuing is most certainly a man of death, prepared against the day of slaughter, and shall immediately drop down without all hope of recovery into hell as soon as death shall strike him to the ground. Oh, then, whosoever you are that read or hear these words, humble yourselves for all your iniquities, and turn unto the Lord with fasting and weeping and with mourning, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great goodness, and repenteth of the evil. Cast away all your transgressions, and so iniquity shall not be your ruin. For the Lord hath said and sworn that as he liveth, he taketh no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that he turn from his way and live. Turn you, wherefore will ye die? The very angels of heaven will be glad at the day of your conversion. But if you harden your hearts and refuse to hearken to the gracious call of the Lord, your damnation is just. Your blood will be upon your own heads. You have been warned and warned again and again by many worthy ministers and messengers of God that have preached in your congregations, and amongst others you have been warned heretofore by us in preaching, and now by us in writing. But besides this sin of profaneness and open ungodliness, there is another evil, no less dangerous, which is often found amongst them that profess more purity and reformation of life, and that is when men bless themselves in their own righteousness and think their condition safe and good, merely because of some legal reformation, without any feeling of their need of Christ, any high prizing of him, any earnest longing for him, any true relying or resting on him. That it is incident to professors to offend in this kind is plain by that which is written of the Pharisees, that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Luke 18:9-12. And accordingly, one of them is brought in boasting of himself before God, that he was not like other men. He was no extortioner, no adulterer, no unjust person, nor like that publican. But he fasted twice a week. He gave tithes of all that he possessed and the like. And it is said of the nation of the Jews generally, that they being ignorant of the righteousness of God, and going about to establish their own righteousness, did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Which place doth also show the dangerous condition of all such justiciaries in this respect, that being so full of their own righteousness, they submit not themselves to the righteousness of God, nor unto Christ Jesus, who is the end of the law, for righteousness to every one that believes. But of this you may be sure, that whatever a man's righteousness may be, unless he were one that had never sinned, he hath nothing in him that is of any worth for the present justification of his person, nor for the everlasting salvation of his soul. For the text is plain, that in God's sight there is no flesh living that can be justified. Psalm 143:2. And therefore such holy men as David, Daniel, Nehemiah, Paul, and others durst not stand to be tried and justified that way. Psalm 143:2, Daniel 9:18, Nehemiah 13:22, Philippians 3:9, but have been glad to fly for this matter only to the free mercy and grace of God and the righteousness of Christ Jesus, which is by faith. And you will find that it will be best for you to do the like. It may be you will say, we have no need to be told of this, for we are not papists to hold justification by works, but do believe that justification is by faith only without the works of the law. Nevertheless, we cannot think it needless for men to be put in mind of this matter, partly because there are many, the Lord knows, in that dear country of ours who discover themselves to be deeply tainted with this as well as other points of popery, and partly because this popery, this pride and self-love, is natural to the sons of men, being a part of that original sin which is common to all, as well as to those that make direct profession of popery. And therefore yourselves, unless you are free from all original corruption, are in danger of this relying upon self-righteousness as well as papists. Nay, we fear, be it spoken without offense, that there are sundry amongst you that do so rely indeed, and though they be not outwardly culpable in respect of popery and profaneness, but profess a stricter and purer way, yet in truth are in no better condition to Godward than others are, as being utterly without part and portion in Christ Jesus. For the manifesting whereof, we hope you will easily grant that whoever hath no more religion in him but what might have been attained if Christ had never been, such an one, whatever religion he may seem to have, is certainly without Christ, and in a state of death unto this day. And that so it is with many professors may appear by this, that trouble of conscience for sin and reformation of life, after that trouble, is all the religion that is found in many professors. For let a man attain to these two, to be stung in conscience for his sin, and afterwards to take up a stricter course of life in the practice of good duties, as prayer in his family, frequenting of sermons, conversing with Christians, and such like. And how many are there that hereupon would account themselves and be accounted by others to be right good Christians, and in a most blessed condition? Whenas the truth is, all that is here mentioned is no more than might be wrought by the law, though Christ Jesus had never come into the world. For a serious consideration of the curses of the law being threatened might produce the one, and the serious consideration of the duties of the law being pressed and urged might produce the other. But both the one and the other without Christ, and consequently both the one and the other without salvation, since there is no salvation without Christ. Wherefore, dear friends, in the bowels of Jesus Christ, we do beseech you, examine yourselves, whether it be thus with you or with any of you. Ask yourselves this question, whether any evangelical and saving work of grace and faith in Christ be yet wrought in your souls, or whether all that yet you have had experience of do amount to no more but legal affrightment and legal amendment. And if upon examination any soul amongst you shall find his condition to be no better than this, that here we are speaking of, in the name of God, let such a soul be deeply humbled and repent in dust and ashes for this, amongst all his other sins, that he hath prized Christ no more, thinking himself to be rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, because of legal duties and common graces, not knowing how, through want of Christ Jesus in his soul, he hath all this while been miserable and wretched and blind and poor and naked. And let a man consider with himself, and the Lord grant that he may consider it seriously, that it is not all this humiliation and reformation that can make satisfaction to the justice of God for anyone, though but the least of all his manifold transgressions, nor justify his person in the sight of God. And therefore, if he die in this condition, which God forbid, he will certainly die accursed, and notwithstanding all his glorious profession of religion, his good estimation amongst theirs, or the good opinion that he hath or hath had of himself, he will at death everlastingly perish from the glorious and saving presence of God, because it is a most infallible and divine truth that must stand for ever, and all flesh shall find it so, that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. 1 John 5:12. It were therefore much to be desired that there were in men such an heart as was in the Apostle Paul, who, having many legal privileges and having been zealous of legal duties, so that in respect of the righteousness of the law he was blameless, yea, counted all these things loss for Christ's sake, for whom he suffered the loss of all, and did judge them to be dung, that he might win Christ, and might be found in him, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by the faith of Christ, even the righteousness which is of God by faith. Philippians 3:4-9. An excellent lesson, and worthy to be learned by every Christian, yea, a lesson that must be learned in some measure of truth by all those that must be saved, for Christ himself prescribes it as the first particular to him that would be his disciple, that he must deny himself, Matthew 16:24. And by a man's self that must be denied, he means this self-righteousness as well as other things. For sure it is that if ever a man must be saved, he must be saved by Christ, because there is not salvation in any other, Acts 4:12. And if by Christ, then a man must believe in Christ, for without faith a man can have no union or communion with Christ, nor ever please God, Ephesians 3:17, Hebrews 11:6. And if a man have faith in Christ, then Christ must be precious in his sight, for unto them that have faith he is precious, 1 Peter 2:6. And if Christ be precious in any man's sight, then he must loathe himself in his own sight, and not only cast away all the practice of wickedness, but all trust and confidence in the filthy rags of his own righteousness, Isaiah 64:6, that so selling all that ever he hath, he may buy that most precious pearl, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness, Matthew 13:45. A pearl of such inestimable worth and value that he is most unspeakably happy that hath it, and of such absolute necessity that they are most wretched and accursed who live and die without it. Lastly, to name no more particulars, this is another, and not the least, of the sins for which our countrymen should be humbled and repent in the sight of God, that is, that the authority and will of Christ Jesus in church administrations hath been no more acknowledged and regarded. For sith he is the only King and Lord and lawgiver to his church, Psalm 2:6, James 4:12, therefore his church and all things in his church ought to be established and ordered according to his appointment, or if it be otherwise, his royal authority is injured thereby. Now, if his appointment in these matters were observed, then churches for the quality of their matter should consist of none but saints and visible believers, Isaiah 60:21, Ezekiel 44:7-9, Ephesians 1:1, and for the quantity thereof, no greater number but one congregation, 1 Corinthians 14:23. Then functions and offices of ministry, which are not from heaven, but of men, Matthew 21:25, should not be tolerated in his church, nor any of those functions and offices be wanting which the Lord Jesus hath appointed and ordained, Ephesians 4:11, Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 5:17. Then none should be chosen or received unto any office in the church, but such as are qualified with gifts for their places, 1 Timothy 3:2 and 3, etc. Nor should their entrance into their places be without the choice and free consent of the church, Acts 1:23 and Acts 6:3 and 5 and 14:23. And when they are entered, they should execute their places with all diligence and faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:1, 1 Timothy 5:17. And the worship which in these churches should be performed should not be by the precepts and canons of men, but according to the will and word of God, with discipline administered according to the rule of Christ. Matthew 18, 5-17. In all which particulars, the Lord knows, there hath been great swerving from the appointment of Christ, both in your country and in other places of England, in that profane and vile men have been allowed for members of the church, and the signs and seals of the body and blood of Christ profanely administered to such whom the Scripture calleth dogs and swine. Matthew 7:6. Also, in that, besides the congregational church appointed by Christ, there have been diocesan and provincial churches, which he appointed not, and archbishops, lord bishops, deans, chancellors, and many more functions and offices in the church, which were all invented and devised by men, and pastors, teachers, elders, and deacons, which he himself appointed, greatly neglected and out of use. Many have been admitted to the ministry, which have been altogether unfit for any such weighty and sacred employments, and obtruded upon the congregations by patrons and prelates, and, when they have been in their places, have been most negligent and unfaithful therein, not minding the glory of God, nor the salvation of the people's souls. And ecclesiastical discipline hath been administered by officers and laws and canons and courts, and worship performed by service book and ceremonies in many particulars. Of all which, it may be truly said, they are things which the Lord never commanded, nor did they ever come into his heart, as Jeremiah 7:31. But here it may be, some man may say, if things have been amiss in these particulars, what is that to us? We hope it is not our fault. Such an one we would pray to consider that in many particulars the people have been willing enough, yea, too willing, of these corruptions that have been invented and imposed by others. As when the prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests did bear rule by their means, and the people loved to have it so. Jeremiah 5:31. And where it hath been so, that the people have been willing of these corruptions, there the people have reason to be humbled for them, though the things were first invented and imposed by others. But say it had been against their minds that such corruptions have been practiced, yet it should greatly grieve a godly heart to see such injury done to Christ Jesus, and that other laws besides his, and other lords besides him, should have dominion over the people of God, Isaiah 26:13, and such injury done unto the church of Christ, as that by means of these usurpations and impositions of men, she should be bereaved of a great part of that spiritual liberty which was purchased for her by the price of his precious blood. And lastly, it should grieve every Christian heart in regard that many a soul, God knows, hath been endangered to everlasting perdition, as by the rest of the corruptions forementioned, so especially by that dumb and unfaithful ministry which hath been set over many a congregation, the Lord having said that where vision fails, there the people perish, and if the blind lead the blind, both must fall into the ditch. Proverbs 29:18, Matthew 15:14. Unless therefore you will say, which we hope you do abhor to think, that though the corruptions brought in by the prelacy and hierarchy have been the destruction of the souls of thousands, and have been most injurious to Christ Jesus your Lord and ours, and to his church which he so dearly bought, yet all this is nothing to you. You have no reason to be affected with these things, unless, we say, you will thus carelessly pass over these matters of this high concernment and importance. We know not how you can satisfy your consciences in the sight of God without a serious and deep lamenting and bewailing of the forementioned corruptions in church administrations, as well as any other iniquities of the land. For sure it is, many have heretofore been deeply guilty of sin in these things, and our dear country of Lancashire hath had her part in this guilt as well as other places. Yea, and ourselves, the Lord be merciful to us in regard of this and the rest of our sins, have not been free when we lived amongst you from a great deal of ignorance and guilt in this kind. In regard whereof, we are now the more desirous to provoke ourselves and our Christian acquaintance and friends to a serious repentance for these things, willing also by this means, if it were the will of God, to make some supply of our defectiveness and exhortations of this kind in times past, when, as we must needs acknowledge, we fell a great deal short of duty herein. But being now and long ago convinced of the evil of the things aforementioned, we think it our duty both to lay the same deeply to heart and to provoke our acquaintance to do the like. Wherefore, we beseech you, let it not seem a small thing unto any of you that there have been such corruptions in the house of God and the administrations therein. But let every soul seriously learn to be ashamed in the sight of God, that men have set their posts by God's posts and their thresholds by God's thresholds, Ezekiel 43:8, that is to say, their own inventions by God's institutions. And if men be once ashamed of these things, as well as of other their sins, then the Lord hath promised in this scripture, Ezekiel 43:11, to show them the pattern of his house, the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the laws and ordinances thereof. But there is no hope that men should ever come to see the beauty and comely order of a pure church, and the holy things of God therein, unless they be humbled and ashamed of their own iniquities and abominations, as in other things, so also in this particular of mixing the devices of men with the holy institutions of God, which we heartily wish all the servants of God seriously to consider and lay to heart. Nevertheless, we do acknowledge that your condition stands in need of consolation as well as exhortation, though we thus speak. For we have heard of sad and doleful things that have befallen that country, as well as other parts of the kingdom, by means of the bloody distempers of war, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted the land. It hath been reported to us by printed courantos and by letters, that many bloody battles have been fought in your coasts, that many of your towns have been besieged and taken, many houses in Lancaster and elsewhere burnt to the ground, many men robbed and plundered of their estates, many fain to fly from their houses and habitations for fear of the enemy, and glad to wander, they and theirs, for succor and relief, where they could find the same amongst strangers, that much blood hath been shed at the battle at Houghton Common, at the taking of Liverpool, of Bolton, and other places in the country, and such as have escaped with life have been forced to endure and undergo much hardship and misery, though their lives have been given them for a prey. In regard of all which we confess you have need of cordials and comforts, and oh, that we had the skill to minister the same unto you in such sort as might be for the refreshing of your disconsolate hearts. But the best is, he that counts the wanderings of his people and putteth all their tears into his bottle, He is able to comfort the comfortless among you that have suffered for his sake, and will effectually do it in due time. In the mean season, be entreated, dear brethren, all you children of affliction, to stay your hearts a little from sorrow, and refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, while we propound to your consideration such grounds of consolation as we find in the blessed book of the Scriptures of God, and which have been sanctified and blessed unto us through his grace for the bringing of our hearts to some measure of quiet contentation and comfort in the saddest hours of affliction that have befallen us in the passages of our pilgrimage from our first times until this day. Which grounds of consolation we trust the Lord may be graciously pleased to bless in like sort unto your souls. First of all our afflictions in this world do not happen by chance or merely by the will of devils or men, but they are all such as our heavenly Father hath appointed us unto. And as our Savior sometimes said, shall we not partake of the cup that our Father hath mixed for us? John 18:11. Second, he that sometimes said, I have seen the affliction of my people that is in Egypt, Exodus 3:7, he is still the same all-seeing and all-sufficient God, and so beholds and observes all the sufferings of his servants, and all the injurious and outrageous dealings of their enemies, Psalm 10:14-17. Third, nor doth he only see our sufferings, and no more but so, but also, such is his goodness, he doth sympathize with us in the same. So that our Lord and Redeemer in all our afflictions is afflicted with us, and accounts our sufferings as his own, Isaiah 63:9, Zechariah 2:8, Acts 9:4-5, Colossians 1:24. Fourth, our heavenly Father, like a good physician, doth never afflict his children willingly, nor giveth them bitter potions to drink, but as it were by constraint and being necessitated thereunto, when they in regard of some spiritual distemper or corruption do stand in need thereof. Lamentations 3:27, 1 Peter 1:6. Fifth, and to show how unwilling he is of the sorrows of his servants, he saith he is angry but a little against them, but for their enemies that are so fierce and handle his servants so severely, he professeth to be sore displeased with them for this dealing of theirs, and for their eager mind to help forward their affliction, which he counts a going beyond their commission. Zechariah 1:15. Sixth, the power of the malignant enemies of God's servants is so limited by the Lord, that not the most malicious of men, nor yet any of the devils in hell, can go one jot beyond his leave and commission, who, as he hath set bounds to the sea, saying, thus far shalt thou go, but no further, and here shall stay thy proud waves. Job 38:11. Even so, in like sort, doth he restrain the rage and tumult of the wicked against his servants, Psalm 65:7. Seventh, the afflictions of the godly are always so ordered by the Lord that for measure they shall not be immoderate, nor more than they are able to bear. Jeremiah 30:11, 1 Corinthians 10:13, nor shall they in the issue do them any hurt, but great good, both in purging out their sin and corruption, that they may be partakers of his holiness, Hebrews 12:10, Isaiah 1:25, John 15:2, and in conforming thereunto Christ, Romans 8:29, and to the blessed prophet, apostles, and martyrs that have been before them. Eighth, the Lord doth not love his children ever a whit the less because they are afflicted, Hebrews 12:6-7, Revelation 3:19, but, on the contrary, is many times then nearest unto you, when they are in greatest tribulation, and then affords unto them the most of his gracious presence, the most mighty support, most rich supply of patience and long-sufferance and other graces, and the sweetest glimpses and apprehensions of heavenly glory, with the most lively expectations of future blessedness. 1 Corinthians 1:5 and chapter 4:16. God was never nearer to the three princes, Daniel 3, than when they were in the furnace, nor to Daniel and Ezekiel and John in glorious vision of God when they were in captivity and banishment, nor unto Stephen then when the stones came thickest about his head. 9. This is the common way in which all have gone that have gone to heaven. And why should we think to be singularly blessed above all the rest of the saints, and not rather be content to bear these things with patience, the same afflictions being accomplished in our brethren that are in the world? 1 Peter 5:9. 10. All the sufferings of this life are but for a moment, for yet a little while, and he that shall come to work our perfect deliverance, he will surely come and will not tarry. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Hebrews 10:37. And sure it is that if our lives were the longest that ever any were, and that of all this time we should never see good day, yet all this in respect of eternity were such a nothing, that eternal weight of glory will abundantly recompense us for the same. Romans 8:18. These and such like arguments of consolation against all the sufferings of the saints in this world, we doubt not but many amongst you have been long ago taught of God to consider. Nevertheless, our unfeigned love to your souls hath moved us in this manner to revive the remembrance of them at this time, though you do already know them and be established in the present truth. And besides these considerations aforementioned, which are more general and applicable to all afflictions and troubles, whatsoever the saints may be exercised withal in this life, there are sundry things in the ground and cause of your present sufferings, as also in respect of the condition of your enemies by whom you suffer, that may also be grounds of consolation to every sincere and Christian heart. First of all, because the war wherein you have been engaged, and by means whereof you have suffered so great things, was not, as we conceive, offensive and voluntary, but merely defensive and taken up upon necessity, because otherwise it could not have been avoided, but your estates, your wives, your children, your liberty, your laws, yea, your very lives, and that which ought to be dearer than your lives, the true religion of Christ Jesus. These must all have been prostituted to the pleasure of papists and other profane and impious people, the sworn servants of Antichrist, the bloody enemies of God and of the kingdom. And therefore, if Nehemiah spake to good purpose when he bade the rulers and people of Judah to remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and to fight for their brethren, their sons and their daughters, their wives and their houses, Nehemiah 4:14. Yourselves, we doubt not, may have comfort in your fightings, whatever you may hazard or lose therein, because you have as many relations and interests to fight for, and of as precious importance and concernment as any that Nehemiah doth there mention, and some of a great deal more, so that if any ask why you would engage yourselves in this war, the events whereof have been to many so sad, such may satisfy themselves if they will but consider matters you had lying as it were at stake. And you may well answer, in the words of David, for the satisfaction of your and others' consciences, was there not a cause? 1 Samuel 17:29. Second, and doubtless, it is a great comfort in sufferings when they that suffer can say unto God, For thy sake, O God, these things are come upon us. In which case the church, Psalm 44:22, doth greatly comfort themselves, and our Saviour in this respect doth comfort his disciples, both pronouncing them to be blessed when they so suffer, and commanding them thereupon to rejoice and to be exceeding glad, Matthew 5:11-12. Now, inasmuch as your sufferings are sufferings for that doctrine, that worship, and that government of the church, which is prescribed in the Scripture, against popery and prelacy, and other corrupt inventions of men, we therefore do esteem the cause of them to be no other but the very cause of God, and of his Christ. And so you may well claim a share in those consolations which belong to those who suffer for the cause of God and for righteousness' sake. Third, nor is that nothing which is so often mentioned in the Scripture, that the blood of God's servants doth cry for vengeance against their enemies, Genesis 4:10, Revelation 6:10. In which respect you may be assured that he that saith the death of the saints is precious in his sight, Psalm 116:15, will not suffer the blood which you or others have shed or shall shed for his cause, the cause you have now in hand, to be always unrevenged, but will surely find a time to render tribulation to them that trouble you in his ways, 2 Thessalonians 1:6. For their tumult and outrage and blasphemy is already come up into his ears, Isaiah 37:29, so that he will doubtless avenge your cause, yea, and avenge it speedily, Luke 18:7-8. Fourth, your brethren's blood that is already poured out in this cause, you cannot tell how much good it may have done and will do, nor what good yourselves may do by your constancy. But this you know, how the apostle saith, the things that were done to him did turn to the furtherance of the gospel, Philippians 1:12. And the old saying that the blood of martyrs hath been the seed of the church hath been abundantly verified in our land and in Lancashire, as well as in other parts. For who knows not what a multitude of professors have been brought forth in the kingdom and in our county by means of the sufferings of the martyrs in Queen Mary's days? Was not Blessed Bradford born in Manchester, and George Marsh in the parish of Dean near Bolton, and Geoffrey Hurst and Lee? And doth not he that knows these places well know that profession of the truth and power of godliness hath abounded in these and the places thereabouts, much more than in many other places? And why may we not look at this as one part of the precious fruit of the suffering of the saints aforementioned, who received their birth and first being in those places? And if we should mention Reverend Bourne, Wife Gosnall, Grave Midgley, both the father and the son, and should say that Manchester hath not fared the worse for the first, nor Bolton for the second, nor Rackdale and Lee for the two last, we should not be vain in so saying. For we think it is clear that where these or other of the Lord's prophets have suffered anything for his sake, and in any measure of truth have stood up for reformation, there God hath blessed the country round about, so that there hath not anywhere been found more profession and power of religion than in those parts. And if your own present sufferings may produce the like effect, as why may it not, we trust you will not so much sorrow for the bitterness of the things you suffer, as rejoice and be glad for the happy and sweet fruit thereof. Fifth, Rome is now ready to be ruined, and the time of her destruction now posteth on apace. For the beast, now receiving a wound and deadly blow in the downfall of the prelacy and other corruptions depending thereon, doth therefore thus lay about him and bestir himself in killing the servants of Jesus, Revelation 11:7, as it hath been the manner of Satan to show forth the greatest wrath when he knows he hath the shortest time, Revelation 12:12. Therefore, dear brethren, be patient for a while, a very little while, for it will not be long afore the storm be over, and then we shall have glorious days. For Babylon being once fallen, whose fall is not far off, New Jerusalem will then come down from heaven as a bride prepared for her husband, Revelation 19:7, which times you may be assured will be very glorious. For the report and vision of them was so joyful to John that transported therewith he could not contain himself, but falls down to worship the angel that revealed unto him these things, Revelation 19:10 and 22. Which, though it was his infirmity, yet it argueth the great felicity of those times, the tidings whereof did so transport the spirit of so great and holy an apostle. Sixth. But though the time of your sufferings shall be but short, yet your recompense for the same shall be lasting and large. For though neither you nor your children should live to see the happy days that are a-coming and drawing on, but that you should be taken away in the battle, whilst you are fighting for and with the Lamb, against the beast and his adherents, yet of this you may be assured, that so many of you, and we hope they are not a few, as have known the Lord Jesus in truth and sincerity, shall no sooner end your days in this world, but you shall be taken away to heaven, to the fruition of eternal rest and peace, where you shall experimentally find it made good unto your souls, that your light affliction, which is but for a moment, will work for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And in the meantime, if God continue your lives, he is able, the earth being his and the fullness thereof, Psalm 24:1, to give you an abundant recompense, even in outward matters, for all the losses that you have or may sustain for his name. 2 Chronicles 25:9. However, that same hundredfold in spiritual and internal blessings which our Savior hath promised in such case, Mark 10:30, that same you shall be sure to receive in this life, besides eternal life in the world to come. And for your children or friends that have already lost their lives in this cause, or may lose the same hereafter, he would have you, besides other considerations, to be comforted in this, that you shall see them again at the latter day, when you and they shall forever be with the Lord. Wherefore, to draw to an end, since your war wherein you have been engaged and wherein you have suffered such things hath been merely defensive and necessary, because you could not avoid it, and, since the cause for which you contend is not your own, but the cause of Jesus Christ, since your sufferings are so precious in the sight of God that he will surely take vengeance on your enemies, since your present pressures and troubles and constancy therein may be profitable to posterity many a day hereafter, and that the time of your sufferings must be but short, and then be followed with happy times that will ensue in this world, and afterwards be rewarded with eternal glory in another. We beseech you, therefore, dear brethren and friends, put away now all base and unworthy sorrows and fears, and quit yourselves valiantly like men, and be strong. Lift up the hands that hang down, and the feeble knees. In nothing fear your adversaries, which is unto them a token of perdition, and to you of salvation, and that of God. But sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. If you have been plundered and robbed of your estates, or a great part thereof, you know the Christian Hebrews took such things not only patiently, but also joyfully, knowing that they had in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And yourselves shall do well to be like-minded to them therein. If you have lost your dear friends in these broils and battles wherewith the kingdom in your country hath been embroiled, if any woman have lost her dear husband, any husband his dear wife, any father his child, any child his father, any friend or brother his brother or friend, consider whether you could ever lose them in a better quarrel or for a better cause. Christ Jesus and his gospel and ordinances are sure better than 1,000 either husbands or wives, either fathers or children or other friends. And he knows but little the worth of Christ and of the things of Christ, that doth not esteem them 10,000 times better than all the world besides. And indeed, as our Saviour saith, he that loves these things better than him is not worthy of him. If you should be stripped of your estates and friends, and afterwards of your lives also, you know our dear Saviour laid down his life for you, and therefore it is but equal if you give all that is dear unto you, and even your very lives for him. If you lose anything for him in his cause, you shall be no losers in the end, but by that time all accounts are cast up, you shall find you have 100-fold for all your losses, whatever they be or can be. We mean as our Saviour doth, even 100-fold in this life, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Should you forsake the truth for fear of affliction, which, God forbid, you might then peradventure for a time preserve your estates and liberties and lives, and yet that may be a question too, but suppose the best, you should nevertheless have a very losing bargain of it in the end, and should show yourselves to be penny-wise therein and pound-foolish. For our Saviour's words must stand, and all flesh shall find them most infallibly true, that he that shall save his life shall lose it, and he that shall lose his life for his sake in the Gospels shall save it. Many of you have been professors of the truth for these many years. It is fit, therefore, that by this time you should be grown up to some good measure of heavenly mindedness, and living by faith even then when sense and reason and all creature comforts shall fail. Look not therefore on things that are seen, but on things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Learn now by faith to see him that is invisible, and thereby to endure all that may befall you, as Moses sometimes did by that means. Buy the truth and sell it not. Rather sell all that you have for the buying thereof, for the merchandise thereof is better than silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. The doctrine of the gospel and the grace of Christ therein is such a treasure and such a pearl that he deals like a wise man that shall purchase the same, though with a loss or sale of all that he hath. For popery, we trust, you so far do see the vanity and loathsomeness thereof, that you will never decline nor turn aside thereto. But take heed of Arminianism, familism, and all other erroneous doctrines, of which these days are so fruitful. Especially take heed of the leaven of the Anabaptists, which, if we be not mistaken, is so dangerous and pernicious, and yet withal so contagious, and apt to spread in these days, that we scarce know any other, of which Christians had so much need to take heed, and to be advertised and exhorted so to do. It is but too manifest that many of all sorts are nowadays hankering and leaning that way, and is therefore a testimony of our love, and so we hope you will take it, that we advise you to be aware, lest you also or any of you be plucked away with that or any other error, and fall from your own steadfastness. Love one another, and cleave together in firmness of Christian and cordial affection. The enemies of the truth are not so weak, nor you so strong, that there can be any need of your dissensions and divisions for the weakening of yourselves or the strengthening of them. Divide et impera. Divide them and make yourselves masters of them all, is one of Machiavelli's principles, and a most perilous one it is. It will be your wisdom to take heed, lest the Jesuits should practice the same design amongst you, whether among your military commanders or otherwise. Your safety and strength under God doth in great part consist in your unity and agreement among yourselves. Believe the truth when it is held forth unto you, either in books and private discourse, or specially in the public ministry, and receive it in the love of it, that you may not be deluded with lies. Content not yourselves with literal knowledge in the brain and head, but chiefly look after spirituality and sincerity of heart, and manifest and show forth the same by the power of godliness in all your conversation. What upon sober and serious consideration you shall find yourselves shall have most need of another day, whether the day of death, or the day of judgment, or any other day of deep distress, of that, if you be wise, do you chiefly make your choice now. And what will be most uncomfortable then, do you now abandon? And to apply this general, the day is coming, and not far off neither, when the favor of God through Christ Jesus, true interest to his special love, as reconciled through the blood of his Son, with the amiable and sweet light of his countenance, will be of more worth to the soul, and yield more satisfaction to the heart, than all that this world can afford, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. Yea, the day is coming when these things will be all miserable comforters, and physicians of no value. But those other will then be found to be of such absolute all-sufficiency to the soul, as that he shall be most happy forever that hath them, and of such necessity that he shall be most wretched and cursed that shall live and die without them. Wherefore, we beseech you, consider wisely what now you have to do, and now with Mary make choice of the better part, which will never be taken from you. Choose the Lord God in Christ for your portion, and the lot of your inheritance. Choose not any way of sin, or errors, or creatures for your God, for they are no gods. But now make a choice, and the Lord direct you so to do, that you may have the comfort of the same hereafter and forevermore. We do not think ourselves to be the only prophets, nor that we only are able to give a word of counsel or comfort to our countrymen. We trust we are so far conscious to our own weakness that such arrogant apprehensions are far from us. Nor do we doubt, but Lancashire is blessed of God with many faithful and able watchmen, who are continually blowing the trumpet in your streets, and imparting the message of the Lord amongst you, much more suitably to your condition that we at so many miles distance can possibly do, of whom we have no other thoughts but that the meanest of them might add much unto either of us. But because we dearly love our country, though we live not in it, therefore we think it meet to seek the weal thereof, in the best manner we are able, and we hope we may be allowed so to do. We also consider that sometimes the God of heaven may give as great a blessing to weaker means as to those that are more excellent and eminent, that so himself, and not the means, may have all the glory. Finally, we are both of us well stricken in years, and posting on apace towards our dissolution, and never like to see your faces, nor you to see ours in this world. And therefore we are willing to do this office of love unto your souls, conceiving it may be the last that we can do unto you in this kind before we die. And glad we should be, if you may have the Lord Jesus Christ in the things that concern your own peace and remembrance after our decease. Upon these and such like considerations we have adventured to do, as here you see, hoping our sincere and loving intentions will be accepted in good part. For which we desire no other recompense at your hands, but the benefit of your prayers on our behalf, and this we do most affectionately request from you. Finally, brethren, farewell, and the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Fear none of those things which possibly you may yet suffer, but be you faithful unto the death, and the Lord hath promised he will give unto you a crown of life. To his grace we commend you all in our best desires, and so rest, desirous of your eternal comfort in Christ Jesus, Richard Mather, William Thompson. A postscript to the reader. Understand, dear friends and countrymen, and any to whom this ensuing letter may be presented, that the authors who writ the same did intend it only as a small remembrance of that Christian love that ought to flow and abound in all that are members of that mystical body. According to that, Hebrews 3:13, so especially it ought to manifest itself betwixt ministers and people. And though these friends that now write are so distant that they cannot speak to those to whom they write, as sometimes they have done, yet they cannot forget those bowels of love, as here is expressed and once did more fully declare to be in them when they dwelt among you. And though it comes so late to your hands, the reason was, the place being so remote and the way of conveyance so difficult, being it was intended to be printed, that so the more might enjoy it, the press at that time being full of other employment, which was in the year 1645, it was cast by so long that at last the authors thought it out of season, and so sent it home again to New England till now this year. Some friends, understanding and seeing of it, encouraged the authors to put it forth still, which they, willing to show their love to their countrymen, condescended unto. And therefore, let it not seem to thee as an almanac out of date, but well weigh and consider it, and what thou findest in it that concerns thee in any kind, make use of it to the glory of God and thine own good. For that is it which the authors wish and desire, as their preachings formerly and letters now express, that the name of God may be glorified in you, and you in him. This audio recording was read by Michael Ives. I hope you found it enlightening and edifying. Visit westportexperiment.com for more audio resources, and where I write about parish missions, the care of souls, and all things Reformed.